every time it's here. We'll pick you up and dust you off when you're done with Everclear. We're the ones, have some fun, Recovery 101. Recovery 101. The show you gotta hear. We'll bring you back from smoking crack. When you're done, Recovery 101. Recovery 101. Recovery 101.
Thank you to Teddy for a marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANAOACAGAPASLASLAACRRMMDRAHAMA. F-A.
The CIA.
C-M-A. Triple A.
We all speak for Triple A?
No, not usually. The CIA, the FBI. I wonder when they look at those.
The NSA.
Have you ever seen those things where they've got the things that look through email programs and stuff and look for, like, the terrorist words and stuff?
Uh-huh.
So here's a podcast where I mention the CIA, the NSA, and the FBI all in the same thing, and the word terrorist. Next week, there are going to be a billion guys here.
We'll have guest hosts.
Yeah, next week. Hey, my name's Jim. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always with...
Shelley.
And Mark.
Mark. We have a interesting peanut gallery tonight.
We do.
Welcome, Magic the Dog.
Magic Johnson.
Magic the Gathering.
Shelley.
What?
Want to tell our listeners why we have magic in the peanut gallery?
We have, we have our normal zoo of two dogs and four cats, but we actually have two more animals tonight. We've got Magic the Dog and George the Cat because their owners, our friends Zina and Tony, have been evacuated off the mountain because there's a gigantic fire. And they couldn't take them with them to the hotel.
That is a thing that I'm glad where we live we will never experience.
No.
Now, Mark.
What?
Mark at one time lived right up against the side of the mountain. Like, there was only like one or two streets further north from where you were until you were in brush fire territory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But those two streets had a lot of really expensive homes on them.
So they have a lot of...
There would have been a heck of a fire line built.
Yeah. That's
well, I don't
true.
Know. It'll never happen if there's too much dense fuel around us. The fire would hit the outside of the city and slow down to nothing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, here. No, nothing will happen here.
No.
No. Although the other night we were sitting in here in the garage and mm-hmm. all the studio and all the power went out.
Yeah. For a brief
and
moment.
For like about a second, turned off the computer. I'm like, what the F? Our friend Michael was walking away and suddenly I hear him go, oh, wow. And I hear this kind of boom, boom. And I'm like, ooh. And he comes running. He's freaked out. He's like, the whole sky just went white. And I'm like, Transformer?
No.
More Than Meets the Eye? Oh, did you find out what it was?
Oh, yeah.
What was it?
And actually, part of Citrus was blacked out and College Street.
Citrus was blacked out in the morning, too.
It was underground. It was an underground, I forget what they called it, like a voltage meter or something
mm-hmm.
that exploded in the alley behind Rude Dog. It took out part of the street.
So where did the gigantic white flash in the sky
come from? It was flames shooting up from the box, from the thing that exploded.
Ooh.
Yeah. They're actually quite lucky that those buildings didn't catch that some part. Of course, most of those buildings are made out of brick, but still, you know, they've got wood parts of them. I mean, you know, and there's two bookstores on that street.
It was a freak out.
Yeah.
Because we could see smoke from where we were. We could see smoke coming up. I'm like, oh.
Yeah. I think you're right. I don't think a brush fire would get you here.
Well,
no.
Maybe in our backyard because meth the lawn
lab,
is dead.
A meth lab may be going up.
Oh.
Meth lab might get us.
We had a meth lab go up.
Like a block about, away.
Yeah, like not even that far. Like probably 50, well, maybe 75 yards from here on the other street over there.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny. The news story.
Yeah. The guy walking
area,
by.
Area resident, I can't remember his name, was walking by. And I'm like... Yeah, he's for a stroll at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
This is a total meth guy that I used to know. I'm like, yeah, he's out for a walk at 3 a.m. happens to be there right when the meth lab explodes. I have a feeling he may have been inside and ran outside.
Bolted, huh?
Yeah. I don't know what happened to the other people. How was your day, Shell?
6 1/2 dozen of another.
I heard you did great today.
I don't know. I felt kind of disjointed. I don't like doing the 15-minute, 20-minute pitch thing or the short story.
Oh, for Shelly, it's got to be an hour and a half.
No, I like being able to tell the whole story and all the bits, and I get distracted in my own brain when I can't go from beginning straight to the end.
You had 45 minutes.
No, I only went for like 20.
I know you did. I don't understand why.
You said...
I said it's a speaker meeting.
Speaker participation.
And I said, we haven't even taken a break two of the last three meetings because the last guy went almost an hour.
Oh, yeah, but, okay, people hate that when you're at a speaker participation
and you're
expecting to participate.
Hang on. He did that to me once, too, at the Coconuts meeting.
Yeah.
I go out there, you know, I'm thinking, you know, 15, 20 minutes. So I go like 17 minutes or something, and Mark goes, what are you doing? After I'm done, he's like, what are you doing? And I'm like,
I told you to go 30
I'm leaving
to 40.
Time for participation. He goes, we don't need that much time.
Well, at any rate, I just feel a little disjointed because I have to leave stuff out.
I couldn't figure out. You left a lot of stuff out.
Well, because then why don't you just have a speaker meeting and then you don't have to worry about the speakers wondering how long to go.
That's why I have the speakers go first. They can go as long as they want.
Yeah, but you have them go before the break, so you know that everybody's sitting there waiting for the break.
Oh, that's true. If you're going to do that, you should do all the readings and everything,
and then
cut everyone loose for the break.
Because
they'll be waiting for the break. And then the speaker?
We do two readings.
You only do two?
And then go. Yeah. We do two, and then go. Then after the speaker, we do the traditions. And we get everybody's money before they leave.
You could do your literature report.
And then we do chips and cake.
You do literature
so we can
report.
So we can cut the cake at the break. And then we come back and have participation.
You know what you could do?
What could we do?
You could do your two readings,
uh-huh.
Get your literature report,
uh-huh.
Chips
and cake.
Your collection, and do the cake, the chips and the cake before the break, and then have it cut so that when you go on break, and then you come back and let the speaker do the whole rest of the time. You like the way I'm managing and controlling?
I noticed that, but you said it. I wasn't going to say anything.
Well, you know what that means.
What's it mean? What does it mean, Bruce? What? What's it mean?
Shelly.
Oh, is it me?
Well, sure, why not?
Okay. Should I do it as me or as you or as like Sister Wendy?
Whatever you think.
Who's Sister Wendy?
It's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze.
Wow.
I was expecting you to do it.
I'm reading the news.
Okay, all right, I'm on.
This is kind of interesting. A North Sea fisherman set a world record by scooping up a bottle that had a message in it that was 98 years old.
What did it
How
say?
Do they know?
Yeah, how do they know?
They know exactly because the bottle, which was found east of the Shetland Island off the Scotland's northern coast, was released 98 years ago with 1,890 total bottles. The government was trying to map the undercurrents of the sea, and what it would say inside each bottle was a postcard that asked the finder to record the details of the discovery and promised a reward of a sixpence.
Oh. What is that with inflation?
Fisherman Andrew Leeper, skipper of the Copious, found the bottle, which was set adrift in 1914 in his nets a couple months ago. It's just getting out now.
And you got 75 cents for this?
Well, he went. Leper said that he went to them and said, where's my sixpence? And they said, that has expired. And I'm thinking, really? You think a guy just pulled it out of his pocket?
Did it have an expiration date on the note?
No. It doesn't have an expiration date on. And the funny thing is, Leper set the world record, but there was another guy who was on his boat that had the previous record because they found one of these things like 3 years ago.
Did he get his sixpence?
It didn't say. But that guy would go around everywhere talking about it. And now this guy finds this one and the guy is all pissed off.
Well, yeah, because he stole his thunder.
Yeah, it'd be really fun. The guy didn't give him the sixpence.
Yeah.
And he sues him for like $50,000 for not doing it, and he wins.
Sixpence with interest.
Yeah.
You know what it is? Sixpence, none the richer. Well, it took you a minute, didn't it?
No, I was just trying to figure out if it was funny or not, but it really wasn't.
Oh, man. Kazoo alert. It's kind of a strange hero of the week, but I think it deserves the hero of the week. Shelly's making sure there's not anything living in the kazoo. Wow, you guys are lame.
Wait, start over.
Wow.
All right.
Wow. David Lawson.
I'm working with a freaking rookie.
David Lawson in Michigan, by himself, on his lonely, won $337 million as the only winner of the Powerball. Now, that in itself does not make you a hero.
I was going to say,
you're my hero.
Well,
you're also
it's
my
the
cousin.
Third largest jackpot in Powerball history,
uh-huh.
And the seventh largest jackpot in U.S. history.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
and it's all for him.
Right, okay, so
what
I'm still waiting.
What makes him
part?
The hero,
yes.
As he says, it's not going to change him. I'm going to remain obese. I'm still going to McDonald's. He says, I'm still going to drink beer. He says, I'm a millionaire now, but I'll still go to McDonald's. He says, I don't really like filet mignon or lobster. I like more of the fast food stuff. He goes, I like the simple life, and that's what I want to continue to do. He chose the lump sum cash option, which gives him $224.6 million. He goes, the only thing I'm really going to do besides waste the money is I'm going to make sure all the kids get through college. And here's a guy that's actually saying what's probably really going to happen. He met with the reporters, and he said, I got to tell you, I really got to be careful because, you know, it's only $337 million. I could spend that in a year if I'm not careful. And I'm thinking, on Big Macs? $337 million?
I saw Super Size Me.
Yeah, dude. Well, this guy does not look in none too good a shape either. I'm thinking that his wife is like, yeah, you keep eating that McDonald's. You keep eating that McDonald's. But you
how
know,
does that
you,
make him a hero?
Because every other person never says it like they say, you know what, I'm going to work at my job and I'm going to do this. And this guy says, look, I'm going to be a pig. I'm going to waste the money. I'm going to go eat McDonald's. You know, I'm going to quit.
I have to agree with that sentiment. He's not much of a hero.
Okay. Now, a young boy. Oh, this is good. If you want to get your Coca-Cola can cold, don't stick it in the freezer.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. It's ice water, isn't it?
A young boy in China.
Salt water.
Posted a photo of the damage left on him on an Asian social networking site called Weibo.com after he tried to chill a can of Coca-Cola by putting it in the freezer. He removed the can after a few hours.
Yikes.
When it exploded.
Yeah, it'll do that.
Aluminum shrapnel had to be removed from the boy's face. He needed a total of 38 stitches.
Yeah, I can see how that would happen because I've had
his timing was bad because you have time just right to take that thing out as it explodes.
I know. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
If he'd waited one more minute, it would have exploded in the freezer.
Yeah, and if he'd taken it out a minute sooner, it'd have been fine.
I've had them explode in the freezer. It's not fun
it's
to
ugly.
Clean up, but at
oh,
least
no.
I didn't get shrapnel in my face.
No, you usually just go buy a new freezer.
Oh, no. You can just clean it up. I've done it.
Okay. Here's a real hero of the week. We'll give you guys another chance here. That was way, way better. Okay. What are the chances of this? This guy, John Angerame, is talking about his father. His dad, Augie, has dementia, advanced dementia, and
okay.
is in a board and care
assisted
for
living.
Elderly. Yeah, but I mean, there's even more than that. I mean, it's a facility that's really assisted living.
Okay.
And when he was in the Army, in North Korea. He was a medic. And every day his son noticed that he would go to this one room and go in and check on the guy in there and make sure he was okay and pat him on the back and rub him on the shoulders and leave. And he couldn't figure out what the thing was. So he starts looking back. He goes into the guy's room. He looks at stuff. And he sees this picture up on the wall, and he goes, wow, I've seen that picture somewhere before. And he goes back to his dad's house, and his dad's got the same picture up on the wall, and it's this camp in Korea. And it turns out that this guy, who the guy goes to visit every day, was the cook for his division or his battalion, and had been injured in the war, and his medic in the war was this guy's father. And what makes this guy the hero of the year is, like, however many years later this guy is still going to help. Even with severe dementia and the other guy having dementia, he's going to take care of his buddy.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
That's cool.
I'd have to agree with that.
And the story started out with, what are the chances of that? Nobody in the place knew that they knew each other. No one knew anything. And here the guy is trying to take care of his buddy.
I thought that was pretty cool. That's sniffle-worthy.
Yeah. He said the guy's name was on the door, Frank DiBella, and he found a thing at his dad's house mentioning the name Frank DiBella, and that's how he knew.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Salt Lake City, Utah. It started as a traffic stop for someone allegedly driving under the influence. Quickly turned into something more serious.
What?
Well, it was early Saturday morning, and they pulled over a driver suspected of being intoxicated, and the officer called for backup, and a second car arrived. Both cars were parked on a 1300 East block with their lights flashing when another car coming northbound plowed into the police cruisers.
Oops.
One of the cruisers was completely totaled. The other had some damage, and on top of that, they ended up with two DUIs.
What is this? The Alky Olympics? That's the slalom race.
These
alcoholic pinball.
Yeah. I was going to say it's like pinball. These cops got the gold medal.
The other drunk that was driving into the go toward the light. Yeah. Probably thought he was dying.
Okay, kind of weird. Melting Italian glacier.
There's a glacier in Italy?
Yeah, up in the whatever the mountains are of Italy.
Okay.
200 pieces of World War ammunition emerged from a melting glacier.
Oh, yeah.
At Trentino Mountain Peak.
500 pounders?
But they're not small. I mean, they weigh between 7 and 10 kilos. And 85 to 100 millimeter caliber devices were found at an altitude of 3,200 meters when a once perennial glacier partially melted due to a record heat wave that reached the area lately. So they sent the police alpine rescue unit up, and the guy said, this is a bunch of unexploded ordnance, and we don't really want to take this away. So they ended up fixing it with GPS and sending it stuff left over from the armies of Austria-Hungary and Italy between 1915 and 1980. Or 1918, 1980.
I was going to say, well, that's a
long It was a new
war.
Wave movement was leaving all their ammo up there.
That may have been a nuke.
Yeah.
It might have been. Okay, I got one more for you. This is specifically for Shelley.
Okay.
Something wild. Reuters, a Chicago area woman, came to return an overdue copy. Do you know this?
No, but you said Reuters. What do you think that is?
It's not a news organization.
Okay, then why did you say Reuters?
Because that's where it came from.
Well, I never said
Associated
Press. And
then the first thing I said is a Chicago area woman.
Okay.
What did you think? I said a Reuters area woman?
Yes, I was like...
Okay. An overdue copy of The Picture of Dorian Gray to the Chicago Public Library.
Yikes. How overdue?
But first she wanted to make sure she wasn't going to jail.
How overdue was it?
That's because the book is a rare limited edition of the Oscar Wilde novel, checked out in 1934.
Oops.
She found it in her late mother's possessions with the Chicago Public Library stamp. It was 78 years overdue.
Did they waive the fee?
Well, she didn't know the library caps late fines at the Chicago Public Library of $10 on a book.
They do?
Uh-huh. Wussies. Because the total fines on Dorian Gray would have been about $6,000. And they said the library is conducting a 3-week amnesty program for overdue items, and she figured this was her chance. So she returned the book. The library's marketing director said, we're so happy you brought it back. The book's probably worth a bunch. Yeah. Checked out. She was the first. The mother was the first person to check it out in 1914, and it doesn't even look like she read it. All the pages and everything are perfect. Although it's probably got the stamps from the library and stuff in it. But she kept saying, "You're not going to arrest me, are you? You're not going to arrest me, are you?"
There is no library cops come.
Yeah,
I come down from downstairs with my book tape and wrapper up.
There's no. There was no additional. Information on that.
That's severely overdue. I'm glad she brought the book back, but usually by that time the book's out of the system, but in that case with a rare book, I'm sure they took it back. But they capped the fines at
$10.
$10. Wussy. Wussy.
So it means if I'm going to Chicago and there's a new book out that I really want and it's like $26 at the bookstore, I can just check it out. And
just pay the $10 on your way out the door.
Yeah, here you go. Here's $10. I'm never bringing it back.
Yeah, that is a really dumb system.
What do you guys?
It's 15 cents per item per day. There is no cap on it. We had a guy once in collections for over $1,000 worth of overdue fines.
From the library.
I'm gonna go on record and say that's a little excessive.
He had a bunch of CDs. In fact, I think he's the reason why we set a limit on how many CDs you can check out at one time, because he had so many out. And he
takes a long time to burn that many copies.
He didn't bring them back. When he finally brought them back, by the time he brought them back, he had the overdue fines plus the collection fee, fines of $24 per item.
Don't you guys send Guido out?
No.
Mark knows a guy.
We just send multiple notes. And if
for $1,000?
They send the bookworm from Batman.
The bookworm. Mark knows a guy for $1,000?
For $50 and a half a gram of speed.
No, I mean to go collect $1,000.
Yeah. So clearly, if the library wants to get their stuff back, they need to just go find some addicts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, and that, my friends, is the end of the boozy news. That was pretty good.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101, clean and sober internet radio. Yeah.
We're back.
Welcome back.
By the way, the boozy news.
I had to, Shelley.
I forgot the shout.
I got enough of that today.
I had to.
I forgot the shout outs of the boozy news. Shout out to Bruce. Sorry, everyone else. Shelley called me at the last minute. I had to go get it.
Yeah, because I was busy going to a meeting to speak.
So, to share.
Shelley was busy being of service.
To share. You already sounded pissed off that you weren't speaking. You didn't have enough time.
Share, whatever. No, I wasn't.
You didn't have enough time at that speaker participation meeting to speak.
It's a speaker meeting.
I wasn't pissed? What would I be pissed about?
You said it. You never get to share your thing right.
And you were terrific, by the way.
There you go.
Thank
Shout
you.
Out.
The after the meeting, I spent a half hour talking to the newcomer, and he really enjoyed it.
Oh.
So you made
Did you
impact.
Wear a bra?
You made an impact on the... There was a guy there with 13 days. There was a guy there with 6 months.
Did you wear
Shelly
a bra?
Shelly had the third least amount of time in the room.
Yeah.
Did you wear a bra?
Yeah. Why are you asking me that?
I was just seeing what the newcomer was so interested in. You didn't seem to like your share, so he was interested in something. I'm not saying.
You just saying?
I'm just saying. That was a really bright white light that I just saw outside, but it came on the side of the studio.
That really wasn't true. There was one other person there who had less time. The girl was there that we seem to always pull topics from the topic generator meeting with her daughter.
Well, this other gal had a son.
Oh.
Had a son. So, I don't know. So we have a topic. It was sent in, I might add, on the comments section on the recovery101.net page by Mr. Bill Piper.
Yep.
Recovery 101 brought to you in part by Bill Piper. And what is it, Mark?
And since he had a topic suggestion in the comments, we would do it because we've asked for people to do this for...
Ever.
Ever, and he's the first one to put up a topic...
Excellent.
Dating in or out of the program.
Ooh. Now, I mean, certainly there's a lot of ways to go with that. Shall we start out with dating too young in the program? Or do we think the thing is, should you date within or without of the program?
Should you date other people in the program, or should you date people outside of the program?
Shelly.
Should you marry people in the program, or should you marry people outside of the program?
I have no experience with this. I was married when I got sober.
What would you tell sponsees?
Whether you're going to date somebody inside or outside of the program, if you don't have any time, you need to be focused on your program. You need to be not dating anyone inside or outside of the program. But they never listen to me.
They
always ask me for advice. And then I say, look, I'm not a relationship counselor. And then they're like, oh, well, yeah, but what do you think? I said, okay, well, if you're asking me what I think don't do it. You need to focus on your program. Then the first thing they do is go tra-la-la off with the guy, and either I never see them again or I end up getting multiple phone calls where they're totally torn up and emotionally exhausted. I'm like, I feel like saying, I told you so, click.
You know why? If as a sponsor you had told them no, it would be different. But you said, well, I'll give you my opinion as a friend. And they said, oh, and it's not sponsorly direction. F it. I'll go do it.
No. I don't tell them this is my opinion as a friend. They said, well, no, what should I do? And I tell them, and I say, well, I think you shouldn't do this. And then they go and do it anyway.
Well, there you go. Do you find that I look at dating within the program and outside of the program as being sort of a catch-22. Because on the one hand, it's hard enough to stay sober on your lonesome. And to hook up with someone else in the program, you got to be pretty sure that they're going to stay sober as well. Because I had this issue once before where I stayed sober, the other one didn't, and there was hell to pay. I mean, it was horrific. On the other hand, date outside of the program and you run the risk of the person that thinks the program's taking all your attention. They don't know anything about the program. They don't know how to relate to you. They got all those issues. What do you think, Mark? You've done both.
I've done both.
Yeah.
I've married in the program. I've married out of the program. I've dated in the program. And I've dated out of the program. Which one do you want me to cover first? I can do the whole 22 minutes.
There you go. Well, grab a part.
Came in the program. Got clean and sober. About 2 years sober. Met a girl with a year. She and I were on the same side of a big argument that was going on within the program at the time.
That's always good.
Yep. So we were on the same side. We were kindred spirits. We got along with everything. Because it was a battle in the program, and We just fought on the same side, and then that battle ended after we got married, and I just found out she just liked to fight.
Yeah, she liked to battle.
She just liked to battle. So the next battle was me.
And,
And, you know, she was probably a dually before they had dualies.
Yeah, that's another topic coming up here sometime.
Yeah, she was a dually before they had dualies, so... So that one didn't last real long. And then after that divorce, I married a normie. And stayed married for almost 20 years. And that one didn't work out. That worked out for a long time, though.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, it just didn't work out. And...
And then so, you dated.
I just dated a girl in the program. And, you know, what's really hard is I've been around for a bit.
Oh, a wee bit.
And one of the things about dating someone in the program is the first rule of dating someone in the program is you do not get involved in their program.
Yeah, right. Which is tough to do.
But you sure would like to sometimes.
You know how I get involved in Shelly's program sometimes? Mm. You should talk to your sponsor.
You have called my sponsor or texted her and said, have you talked to Shelly lately? Which puts the fear of God into her, so I'm instantly get a phone call.
If I dated somebody for 5.5 months and they never called their sponsor one time?
Red flag.
Red flag.
And never opened a book?
Red flag.
And when I said, that these are really things you should deal with your sponsor, they said, those things are embarrassing. Those aren't the kind of things you'd talk to somebody about.
Red flag.
Yeah. That one was destined to fail.
Okay, if there's something that you think is too embarrassing to talk to your sponsor about, you got some serious problems. Because...
Well, and you know what the goofy thing is? The book... is pretty specific about that. If you feel you have to tell someone, if for some reason you don't feel like you can tell your sponsor, it talks about in the big book, there's other avenues you can go to. You technically, you could do that with a psychiatrist or with the counselor or with a taxi driver. You could do it with someone in your church if you do confession. There's all kinds of things. So that's like one of those things. It's like, I can't do that. Well, didn't do it with someone else.
I know, but when somebody says something like that's too embarrassing, I mean, the whole sick is your secrets thing.
You do it with a stranger on a bus.
Yeah, you really, really can't hang on to that stuff because that'll get you loaded.
Yeah. And then when, I don't know what it is about the, God, am I going to get in trouble for this? What is it about most women and the resentment bucket? That they get a resentment, they throw the resentment into the bucket, but they never empty the bucket. And then when the bucket gets full of resentments and they have no place else to put the resentment buckets, what are we looking at?
The red resentment bucket is right there.
Bucket.
I can see it.
Yep.
Oh, no, yeah. That's my laundry supplies bucket.
And when the bucket
gets full,
I know
what you claim it is.
It's like, can you get rid of one or two of the resentments?
Is that what we call the resentment dam breaking?
I'll give you the perfect example.
Uh-oh.
My ex and I. My youngest child's now 22 years old. We filed for divorce early this year. We've been apart for like 3 years now. While we're at the courthouse filing for a divorce, she says, one of the problems was you were told you shouldn't feed sugar cereals to the kids when they were young.
Wow.
What does that have to do with your divorce?
Because I let the kid, because I would buy
Captain
Lucky
Crunch.
Charms for the kids.
I buy Lucky Charms for Bruce.
Yeah.
Yeah. You shouldn't have fed sugar cereals to the kids. Now, keep in mind, I've got four kids.
And your youngest is how old?
Three of them. 22. But I've got four kids. Three of them are college graduates. Two of them with postgraduate degrees.
Yeah.
So the sugar cereals must have worked out in some way, shape, or form okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm like, could you let that one go? Could you, if you're going to pick one thing out of the resentment bucket just to let go, I would suggest the you shouldn't have fed sugar cereal to kids when they were
at least 15 years old.
Yeah. But it's like, don't let that crap ever go away.
Shelley?
I don't know. What's in my resentment bucket?
It's your resentment bucket. I don't know.
I can't think of anything.
He didn't know it was in her resentment bucket until she unleashed him on it on the cereal.
Oh, no. I've heard about her for like 20 years.
Oh.
No, you know what? I don't actually think I have a resentment bucket. I think what I have is...
a resentment machine gun?
Sort of the...
just fire them out?
The whatevs of resentment.
Whatev.
Because they're all the little things that drove me crazy that you do or did or whatever, instead of trying to fix them, now I just say whatevs.
Yeah. You let them go?
But Shelley, you actually work the program.
Well, and see, that's...
not some program or your program.
Well, and here's the thing. Like for what Mark's saying is, he married outside of the program. Mm-hmm. And if we we expect that people outside of the program are going to act like they have a program, some people do without thinking about it.
I married in the program, same problem. After that, I dated in the program, same problem.
Okay, now, wait a minute. So...
the common denominator is I seem to create a lot of resentments.
The common denominator is you.
You know what? I remember,
create a lot of resentments.
Now, and I have experience with this as well, because I married someone in the program, then I married Shelley, who was outside of the program.
When I brought her in.
And I remember...
you make addicts out of
women. Well, listen to this. Yes, I remember I'm talking to my sponsor, and I had discovered that Shelley is drinking like a fish. And I'm telling my sponsor, I'm like, I don't know what the hell is going on. I said, my first wife was a dope fiend alcoholic. My second wife was a sober dope fiend alcoholic who went back out and drank. My third wife's an alcoholic. I said, I've got a broken picker. And my sponsor looked at me and he said, there is one common thread that all these women have. And I said, what is the common thread that is with all these women? He goes, they're all with you. He goes, so maybe the problem is not as much them as it is you.
See, and I'm lucky because my picker got fixed. My first husband, he's a great guy. We're friends. Everything's fine. We don't have any problems. But
I almost married him.
I know. Bruce.
Guy makes six figures. He's a great guy.
He came and fixed the electrics in our garage.
Rewired our garage and then came and rewired our studio, too, for free.
But you know what? God knew that I was not safe with the first husband. And he allowed me to trade up. So obviously my picker got fixed because now
Where's the hero of the week kazoo?
Yes, Bruce should get the hero of the week.
No, I was just saying for you. You're getting the brownie points here, not me. Now, what about this? What about the people that they say, you know what? I don't want to be with someone else in the program because maybe they've had several relationships that crash. Maybe one goes out or the other. You got the whole things of, two wet noodles, buy them together, do not make a strong rope and all that thing. And now they're out looking for people that don't know anything about program.
Looking for love in all the wrong places?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a good idea. Well, I mean, I don't know if it's a good idea or a bad idea, but for me, like, if you and I weren't married... I don't know that I would want to date someone outside of the program because, if you get close enough to that person and you're having like a serious, serious relationship, I mean, you and I know there are times when, it's 1 o'clock in the morning and you have to leave to go help someone. Do you think a normal person's going to understand that?
Yes.
Probably.
I don't know.
Well, maybe some, maybe not. I mean, it depends.
It's just easier when you don't have to explain.
See, and I'm the other direction. I don't think I'd ever date anybody in the program again.
Why? Because you might get another wacko?
I think it's indigenous to the majority of the program.
That's another thing. And think how many people are outside of the program that should be inside. I mean, when I first met Shelley, I'm wearing an AA ring, and she goes, oh, shit.
Yeah, because he might mess up my future drinking.
Yeah,
but your chances are just as good of getting a whack job if you go outside of the program as they are inside of the program.
Well,
they'll have all their teeth.
You know what? How about this? I submit that that's incorrect. I think there is a chance you get a whack job outside of the program, but you know what? Inside the program, you know that everyone in the program is already a whack job of some type, or they wouldn't be in the program.
Yeah, but it's an understandable kind of whack job because you're one too.
I don't understand women.
No, because if you're in...
I don't pretend to even try.
If you're in a particular pool of people and you're all the same kind of people, you know what you're getting into. But if you go outside, you don't know what brand of insanity they have. Or they could be a really nice person and hang with you for a while and decide, oh my gosh, he's a nut job, and like leave you.
Watch this. Wait. Mark, if I say to you, if I say to you, hey, Mark, go ahead and do that. What do you do?
I go do it.
What if a woman says, yeah, go ahead?
I go do it.
But don't you know that it's more of a dare than a, you know, I mean.
Here's what you have to,
that's
Bruce,
not a program,
Bruce,
it's a woman thing.
Bruce, here's
well,
what you,
yeah,
have,
but
to,
women
here's what you
program.
Have to understand. And maybe this is the root of the problem, and it's me. If you say something,
you think
I am
like
not
a guy.
Going, I am not going to exert the energy to have to figure out what part of that brain that you were born with all that
is
estrogen
not firing on all eight
it,
cylinders.
Does, yeah, the estrogen's put out some of the cylinders, and I'm not going to try to figure it out. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go do it. And then when
what?
You turn around and go, I can't believe you did that, I'm just going to look at you and go, you're an idiot. You told me to. You said it was fine. And I also thought fine meant okay.
I always thought it meant like a fine wine, like fine china, like fine dining. But what I've understood from women is that the word fine means something is definitely wrong.
Shelley, feel free to chime in here at any time. You're just because you're about to screw out of your seat.
No, I'm okay. You know what? I've decided that I'm not going to comment on any of this. The reason for that is because I'm going to let the two of you sound like jerks all by yourselves.
What? Now, why am I sounding like a jerk?
Why are you sounding like a jerk?
Well, not so much you.
Why is Mark sounding
like
a jerk?
You're like totally going down this misogynistic...
Wait. Let me throw something in. I asked Mark if a guy said, go ahead
he said,
and do... Wait,
you're an idiot.
Wait.
He's going to tell the woman she's an idiot.
You know why? Because she's going to have a strange reaction to telling me something was okay.
She's
going
to tell him to go do something. When she says go ahead, he's going to go ahead, and then she's going to get pissed that he went ahead.
If she says, go ahead, go to the strip bar, and I wasn't even planning on going, but I go because she told me that I should... And then
awesome.
I get back, and she's upset.
Sweet.
Dude, yes. So if she says, go ahead and go, that must mean it is okay with, not only is it okay with her, but she's encouraging me to go. She should
like
be happy that I followed her direction. She won't be, will she?
No. You know how you can really tell who your best friend is? Take a dog and a woman. Lock them both in the trunk of your car for 3 hours.
Uh-huh.
See which one of them's happy to see you when you open the trunk. I'll bet it's the dog.
Good
probably
point.
Be neither one. They probably have passed out from the heat and are on death's door. So.
No, we'll park it in air-conditioned garage.
I'll park it in the parking structure. Oh, my goodness.
Y'all are nuts.
Shelley, what would your final words on dating within and without of the program
I'm not
be?
Dating anyone.
Thank God for that.
Well, I'm already married. And by the way, I would like to point out that when you said you were going to a strip club, I said, okay. And did you get in trouble for that? No.
You worked the program.
I wasn't even in my last binge at that point.
You're supposed to go with
I was still
him.
Dry.
Oh, you're supposed to go with
it. It was
him.
Your bachelor party.
I know, but
you're still supposed to go with it.
It was my bachelor party.
Because you know what? When a woman goes with a man to a strip club, it's really hot sex that night. And if you really want hot sex, take her to a male strip club.
Ooh, no.
Yeah, because I won't be all that interested by the time I get home, let me tell you.
And I'm not
all that. That's okay. She'll get you interested real fast.
No, I'm not a big fan of male strip clubs. No.
So let's go to a female strip club.
That I would do, but the male strip clubs... Because most of the guys at the male strip clubs, because I used to know a couple of male strippers, are usually gay. So...
Yeah.
And I'm not a real big fan of, like, big muscles and stuff, so,
thanks. Thanks a lot. Thanks for that.
Okay, well, now I'm having to stick my foot in it.
She's a fan of abs and butt.
Those are ribs.
Not anymore, they're not.
Okay.
They used to be. It's like my bastard friend online. He's not a bastard. He's a great guy. I've known him for. This guy's abs have abs. He's the same age as me, and he looks like he's 25. It pisses me off.
Yeah.
He's an old surfer. His abs have their own six pack. Each ab has a six pack of abs on it. It's ridiculous.
And like has he gotten that impotence thing under control?
I don't think he's got that problem.
Oh.
I think his term to
and
me
you
was.
Know that?
I think that the term it had to me is I'm still hanging out with Tommy Lee and the boys. I've got the monster crank and the chicks love it. Was exactly how he put it to me. I said, "You're a mf'er, bastard." We'll get mail. Who's this guy? Yeah. Can we find? So, Mark, what would your final words on the topic be?
No matter what you decide to do, just make sure that you are at a point in the program where you've learned to love yourself, because until you can love yourself, you can't love anybody else.
There you go. I can love myself.
Because I
know what I like.
I give myself a little tongue every night.
Oh, man. Wow.
I'm crazy about me.
My final words on dating in or out of the program is, if you're going to date in the program, I would wait till you and they have a little time.
I did that.
And if you're dating outside of the program, I'd still wait till you have a little time.
I did that, too.
And good luck to ya.
We're talking relationship, not just sex, right?
Yeah, no.
Okay.
That's sports sex. That's different.
Okay.
Shelly.
Yeah.
You had to do it. You had to do it. Do you know I've had people tell me that they yawned if you yawned? Now all three of us yawned.
Yeah.
We're causing a frenzy of yawning across the world. Who is our friend back east?
That would be Bruce.
The other white meat.
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com. You can read his fine publication online. You can have it emailed to you, or you can subscribe, and he will send it to you in the post. You can also inquire about franchise opportunities so that you can bring the 12-Step Gazette to your town. And if you are on Facebook, you can go to the 12-Step Gazette group and become a member.
What other group could they go to?
Oh, yeah, they could go to Recovery 101 on Facebook and join the group. But there's a sort of random phantom page. It says Recovery 101, and it was the old page before they switched to the group thing, and it's still hanging around.
It still shows up. It tells us everything's going to be commuted from this to the next group. It's all going to be gone, and it's still there.
It's still there. So if you go and you see a post that says this page is no longer active, go to the other Recovery 101 group and click on that, and then you'll find
it. It's got like a thumbs up or a green, there's some kind of icon next to it.
Yeah, and I put up a post that says we're not here, nobody's home, come to the other group.
Mark.
Yes.
Someone wants to listen to the show.
They do?
Like Bill Piper.
Bill. Bill, you know what to do.
What did Bill do?
You go to recovery101.net.
.net.
The show is up. Click on the show. When that show comes up, there'll be a little button on there that says like.
You should click
the like button. If you're a member of Podomatic, thank you very much. You've been counted into our numbers. If you're not, there will be a box come up indicating that you could join Podomatic. You'll want to join. It's for fun and for free. Once you join, you can then like and comment on shows. You can follow. You can put us on your playlist.
Hell yeah.
And you can really do a number on our numbers.
Yes, you can.
So thank you.
We've got email addresses at recovery_101@hotmail.com, recovery101radio@gmail.com. You can join the crack advertising staff at recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Don't take yourself so damn seriously.
We sure as hell won't.
Why don't we go old school on the...
Old school on the song? What do you want to play? What do you want to hear?
What kind of old school?
Like 8 Days Clean would be nice.
Okay.
Is that some 8 Days Clean? Which one do you think, Shelly? Where you pick it when you get there.
I'll pick it when I get there.
Okay.
That means she can't remember any of the names of the songs.
I think I remember
it. Everybody try and leave it better than you found it, and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.